I want to welcome everyone to our call tonight. My name is Devin Gino, and I first want to thank you for taking time and actually investing in yourself by learning more, you know, really about personal growth, but also about development. Because it's not just growth, but it's kind of growth in the right, you know, in the right path, right? So like I said, my name is Deb Ingino. I hail out of New York. And my role here at the John Maxwell team, I'm a founding partner. So I started when the team started back in March 2011. I'm also a peer teaching partner for the John Maxwell team. And I am so honored to be on the call with you tonight because the 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth is one of my most favorite books of John's, and you'll see in a little while why that is. Now tonight we're going to launch into growing together, and over the course of tonight and then 3 more weeks, we're going to be using several chapters from John's book and talk through how we can really add the most plan to our growth. Now my goal tonight is pretty simple. Here's what it is. It's to add value to you and to your journey. And if at any point during these next 4 weeks you are interested in becoming certified, like I am, in delivering the material that we're talking about tonight as a corporate trainer, professional speaker, or coach, you can just go to johnmaxwellteam.com/15, as in 15, laws. So johnmaxwellteam.com/15 laws. And while you're there, learn more about our $1,000 scholarship offer too. So as we're getting started tonight, I loved having folks introduce themselves as they're joining the call, because I can see we have people on the line, not just from the United States, but from several countries as well. And we have a lot of people on the line, and that encourages me because that means that there are so many of us that are eager for growth, eager to be able to become more, to do more, and frankly, to be able to serve more as well. Now, one thing I want to mention for some of you who have joined us tonight, this might be the first time you're actually joining a call like this one. You know, truth be told, before I joined the John Maxwell team back in March 2011, I had not participated in a call that was focused on my growth ever. Oh, I jumped on business calls. I might have gone on webinars or, you know, maybe even gone to a seminar, but it was always about something specific to my career at that point. Nothing really focused on me as a leader. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be able to add value to you and your own growth journey. And I am going to, at the end of tonight's call, open up the queue so you can jump in with your comments, your reflections, your observations, your questions. We want to hear from you, because as you're listening in tonight, you're going to be writing down maybe some observations that you've made, or some areas that you're growing in, or some areas maybe that you see as a barrier to growth. And we would love to be able to add value one-on-one on the call as well. So now I have had the great opportunity to see many of my colleagues in action and watch their businesses grow as well as my own. And I can tell you firsthand, I really am a product of this team. I mean, over the past several years, the team has made an incredible difference in my life, in my journey as a leader, in my journey as a wife and a mom. And I know that I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing here today if it was not for making the decision to actually join the team. Now, when I joined, there were several different things that really made an impact on me. And here's what the first one was. I really joined because I wanted to be able to have content like this that I knew I could bring to other people. And yeah, we do that as a members of the John Maxwell team. There's a large variety of content that we have access to. But here's another thing that had a very big impact on my business. And that was that I realized that being part of a team under John's umbrella was added some credibility to me, because no one knew who Deb and Gino was. In fact, when I would say my name, people thought it was two different people, Deb and Gino. So mean, I had a barrier to overcome there. But John's name, having a brand name such as John Maxwell, has made a huge difference to me. I now get to go into businesses and share with them exactly what I'm sharing with you tonight. I get to utilize and build off of John's world-renowned content. I mean, it is powerful, and that's why I'm so glad that you joined us tonight. Now, here's the other thing I found as an extra benefit, was being in a circle of people that are also on the grow, I found helped to accelerate my own growth, because I was trying to keep pace with a lot of people that were already focused on growing themselves. So we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. Now, just a little bit of background on me. When I first joined, I was in my corporate job. I had 3 decades of corporate experience, and 23 of those years were actually with the same company. So I had a spectacular run with them, and I had become ultimately the vice president of global operations, and I was flying around the world creating startup offices for them in 17 different countries. But here's the thing. It sounds like a very cool job, right? And in sometimes it was, but the part of the job that I loved the most was helping leaders and their teams to develop. It didn't matter to me if it was taking a seasoned leader and helping them to become better, or helping folks that were just starting out, this was their first opportunity, and they wanted this very first leadership experience, and helping them to move on to the right path to me was really exciting. I mean, I loved doing that, but it was such a small part of my responsibility. But the other piece is, when I joined the team, I really had a desire that I never really verbalized to anyone, but I secretly always wanted to have my own business. It was just something that I had thought about. It may not be true for you, and that's okay. The great thing about this team is, whether you're doing it for self-development or you want to bring it to your organization or business that you're already part of, or you want to start your own company like I did, you have an opportunity to do all of that. So I saw this as a great opportunity for me to have access to content, really link arms with winners, and be able to actually launch into my own business, which I did. So here I am. This is 2017. 6 years later, I'm a full-time entrepreneur now for 5.5 years. And let's talk, what about your own growth is really important to you? What is it? What drew you here tonight? You know, when you think about being able to grow yourself, there's something that each of us are looking to aspire to, something that maybe we're looking to reach our maximum potential in. And I just want you to keep that, you know, in the back of your mind, because as we go through tonight's call, I want you to be able to see if you can find an area that will help close that gap for you. Now, to be intentional, because this is about the 15 invaluable laws of growth, and the law we're going to cover tonight is the law of intentionality. And to be intentional is a decision that I made. And I love the title of the book. Just listen to the title for a moment. The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth. Live them and reach your potential. Now, think about that, the 15 invaluable laws of growth, not the 15, you know, maybe if it's convenient laws of growth, or not the 15, gee, this might be a good idea laws of growth, the 15 invaluable laws of growth. And that byline, live them and reach your potential, to me, that's what it's all about. So I'm guessing many people that's listening tonight, you know, maybe at some point in your life, like I had been told, people would say, you know, you're really not living up to your potential. And that used to frustrate me when I was younger, because I didn't know what my potential was and I couldn't figure out how they did. But the word potential, think about it, it really is one of the most beautiful words in any language. Because it's one that looks forward with optimism. I mean, the word potential itself, really, it's filled with hope. It's filled with possibilities. But on the flip side, if we take that same word and we link it with the word unfulfilled and we talk about unfulfilled potential, boy, that phrase can feel just as negative as the word potential can feel positive. I mean, really, when you think about it. And I think it was Oliver Wendell Holmes that had this quote that says, "Many people die with the music still in them." And I remember when I heard that quote for the very first time, I was a little stunned by it. And I thought, you know, I was young and I thought, no, of course, people don't die with the music still in them. They live their whole lives and they get to live it out. But as I got older, I realized that wasn't necessarily the case. You see, I think that quote says a lot about intentionality. And all of us on tonight's call, I mean, each of us, you, me, each of us, we've taken this intentional step to be here to find out how we can grow personally and professionally. So it's my goal that not a single person listening to this call tonight will go to their grave with the music still in them. I mean, I know I'm not alone in that. That's something that I know for sure my colleagues on the John Maxwell team are passionate about. And I would probably guess that many of you, if not all of you on tonight's call, that might be true for as well. So we'll give you the help that you need to reach your potential. And we want to make sure that you have the steps necessary for your growth. That's why early on in the call, I shared that if you wanted to learn how you can do this as well, lead whether it's a mastermind group or anything else using our John Maxwell team content, you'll want to go to johnmaxwellteam.com/15laws and learn more about our scholarship offer so you can find a way to do that. But let's talk about that law of intentionality, because in this very first chapter, John really level sets for us what intentionality, what we can bump up against when we're trying to be intentional. And John talks about these growth gap traps. It's a mouthful to say. But these traps are really misconceptions that many of us have had, which prevent us from bridging the gap between where we are and where we want to be. And this is the very first thing I want to hit for each of us tonight. There are eight common traps. And as I talk about them, I'd love for you to consider which one of these do you feel right now is your biggest obstacle? Because that's the one we want to help you try and close. You see, early on in my career, I fell into that very first trap. The very first trap John talks about is the assumption gap. That's a trap because I assumed that I would automatically grow. I assumed that if I stayed with a company long enough, I would grow. And every year, of course, I would get older, and every year I'd have another year under my belt in my career. But early on in my career, I wasn't growing, to be honest with you. I mean, I was under this impression that having years of experience in that industry or in that job role would somehow mean I was automatically growing. But growth is sort of like, it's not a duration test, it's a growth test. And I kept thinking that if I could just stay with them a little longer, maybe a few more years, I was going to pass that test. It's as if, my growth was determined simply by the years of experience I had, not necessarily what I even accomplished. I know it sounds like a very immature way of thinking, but I was pretty immature early on in my careers. But, there was something else I couldn't understand that was happening around me. And this is where my awareness really got raised. I really couldn't understand. I didn't get why many colleagues of mine on the job were being promoted around me. I mean, people who were there for a shorter period of time than I was, some of them didn't even have the same level of responsibility I had. I mean, I was a customer service manager, and I just couldn't understand why other people were sort of moving on to the fast track. You see, I didn't know that there was something that they were doing that I wasn't. Now, what about for you? I mean, have you ever wondered why others around you are moving up the ladder And there you are, like I was, kind of on a rung, waiting to see what was the secret handshake I needed to get up the ladder. I'm not sure. Maybe that's happened to you. But that assumption gap makes us believe that if we just hang in there long enough, it'll work for us. And that's just not true. Now, the other piece is, oftentimes, one of the easiest things to do in that scenario is to blame the circumstances around us. I mean, I found myself saying things like, well, maybe they were with the boss, or, you know, maybe they're actually a family member and they just didn't tell us that they're a family member, or, you know, maybe they have a better degree or they come from the right family. And, you know, whether those things were true or not, here's what I found. If I didn't change, nothing else was going to change for me. And change is actually the choice that actually brings us to the second trap. And that's the knowledge gap. You see, I assumed that I didn't have a choice because I didn't know how to grow back then. I didn't know that there was an opportunity to be able to develop myself further. I thought, well, you know, the company doesn't really have a training program, so how am I going to develop? You see, there were always resources available to me, but I had to seek them out. I had to be willing to invest in myself. And of course, as a young person in my career, you know, 30 years ago, I kept thinking, well, gosh, shouldn't the company pay for these for me? I mean, really, the company should pay for this. Like I said, I had some pretty immature thinking, but I needed to be willing to bet on me. See, I didn't realize that I was letting dollars delay my destiny because it wasn't about the money that they were asking for a book or to go to a seminar. It was about my willingness to be intentional about my own personal growth. So not having the knowledge wasn't really quite a legitimate excuse for me. Now, that company that I was employed with when I joined the team, I'd been with them for 23 years. That's a long time, and they are a great company. But they didn't have formal training, so I kept waiting for them to give it to me. They didn't. And then I finally got smart and realized that as I was seeing people rise up through the ranks around me, that I had an opportunity to be able to grow myself so that I, too, could get on the fast track. And thankfully, that's exactly what happened. You see, it forced me to seek out great resources. Now, here's the key. Each of us, when we are intentional about our growth, we seek out what's necessary, whether it's a resource, a mentor, a coach, being part of a team like the John Maxwell team. That's going to set you apart, whether the company provides training or no training at all. In fact, when you begin to figure out what areas you need to develop in and how you need to grow, and then you take that big step of responsibility for making that growth happen, that's what accelerates you and puts you and I both in a position for promotion, whether it be on the job or in our own business. Doors open because people welcome those that are looking to serve more, do more, become more. So now let's talk about, you know, how do we, you know, think in terms of intentionality in a much bigger way? You know, sometimes I think as leaders, we don't always think about getting caught up in the how. You know, the how always seems like that's somebody else's job. You know, well, if I buy the right book, you know, they'll teach me how. The book will teach me how. And the book can teach us how, but you and I have to be responsible for the application of how. You know, I think back of somebody like Steve Jobs was such a great example. You see, he and Steve Wozniak founded Apple. And with Steve Jobs, you know, he took that lead in his company and they experienced some really good growth. I mean, they had early on, they had a fairly successful company. They were great at innovation, but then they hit a gap. And ultimately, Jobs was fired. You know the story, I'm sure. He was fired from his own company. I mean, talk about a bad day. It's a bad day when you get let go from a company. It's a really bad day when you get let go from your own company. You see, they hit a gap. He has to leave the company because he wasn't the leader that he needed to be to grow the company. And maybe he was making assumptions about what it would take. Maybe he was making assumptions about what he could or couldn't do to be able to grow the company or grow himself as a leader. And for Steve Jobs, I mean, if you know the story, what happened next was he ended up starting two new companies. One of them was Next Computers and the other was Pixar. And those were opportunities that opened up because he hit a gap, but he didn't allow it to trap him. See, that's the key for folks like you and I. We're always going to hit a gap. Gaps are going to happen. The more we grow, the fewer and fewer gaps we hit, but they're still there. But it's what we do with that gap that makes the difference. And when you think back about Steve Jobs' gap, he continued forward in a very intentional way, built great companies. So when Apple hired him back years later, he was a different leader because he grew. He closed so much of that gap that was sitting there when they first let him go. And when I think about how I leaned into John's teachings, that's exactly what happened for me. I mean, we're speaking about each of us closing that knowledge gap, gathering knowledge, but then applying what we've learned so we can grow. Now, as the supervisor of a customer services department, you know, there wasn't a lot of opportunity for me to have a lot of knowledge happening on the job. So for me, I had to do kind of what you're doing tonight. I had to learn on my own time. And that's why I applaud you for being on tonight's call, because that's something not everyone is willing to do. But the next gap that John talks about is the timing gap. This is when, you know, we tell ourselves that we'll do it later because it's not the right time to begin. I remember having a conversation with my colleague, Chris Robinson, who you'll hear from next week. And when I asked Chris, how did he know it was the right time to grow? I'll never forget what he said. He said, "Deb, I was sick and tired of being sick and tired." I mean, he hit a wall. There was a line in the sand that he knew he needed to cross over. And John teaches us that we grow and we change when one of two things occur. So we all of a sudden realize that the timing isn't an issue if we heard enough that we want to change, or we know enough that we can change. Now, unfortunately for me, I had to hurt enough to the point where I was a little frustrated that I wasn't growing early on in my career. And that's really what prompted me to begin this deep dive into personal growth and development. Now, it didn't mean that I went full on in. I was kind of, you know, a book here and there, a seminar here and there. The team, this John Maxwell team, hadn't launched yet. And I think back today, if this team had launched and I had access to the type of development and growth work that I have access to now, my career would have been so much different. And my frustration point would have been eventually a lot lower. So, we talked about a few of those gaps. Let's talk about the next gap, because I don't know which one maybe is the gap for you at this point. The timing gap for some people is a big one. But then there is another gap. And that gap really has to do with comparison. It's called the comparison trap, where we find ourselves comparing ourselves to another person. You know, we look at each other as in almost like a competitive vein that, you know, we're looking, well, if you're growing faster than I am, maybe I shouldn't even try to grow because I can't grow as fast as you can. And really, the only person we need to compete with is ourselves. But this is still such an easy trap to fall into. And it is a big one for a lot of people who are taking intentional steps forward, because one of those steps is to place ourselves in an environment where people are ahead of us. You see, if we're in a room together and we are all very equal, and if we're all just, you know, growing at the same pace, then we're feeling pretty good. We're feeling, you know what, I'm the average of my group. That's a great thing. I'm in a good group. But if I go into a group where the other people are running faster and growing further than I have grown, they've laid out a great pathway for me to follow. But if I compare myself to them, I might think that I'm not worthy, you know, that I'm not good enough, but yet I need to be in an environment where some people are a little ahead of me that have kind of blazed a trail ahead of me. See, I know I've dealt with this because this is one of the things that as a competitive person that I'm always looking at. You know, the problem is John points out in the chapter on the law of intentionality is that we can look at somebody that is well beyond us and get very discouraged. And then we want to quit. You know, like John, I have learned to become comfortable with not being the best or the smartest or the most advanced in a room. In fact, I learn more when I'm the dumbest person in the room because I have a lot more to learn. You see, if I'm not getting outside of my own comfort zone and stretching and kind of forcing myself to be in the space of other people that have grown before me, then that means I am going to remain stuck and bound to where I am. So here's a strategy I've developed. I kind of look at, think of it this way, a newborn child. I think of starting off in a new project or a new growth plan like the John Maxwell team as being a newborn child, right? That we can look at our new pathway, our new growth through the eyes of a young child who's newborn. And I would be really challenged to say, let me compare the motor skills of a newborn to a 10-year-old. Right? Because a 10-year-old can ride a bicycle at that point, but the newborn can't. And the 10-year-old can, you know, read and speak and write, but the newborn can't. But there's potential in there. And that, my friends, is what each of us need to look at inside of ourselves. That potential, it's not about where we are. It's about the potential we can grow into. So, since I realized I have this tendency to compare my worst day with your best day, I knew that I needed to reduce that gap. That comparison gap was really hurting my ability to be able to grow successfully. And the last couple I want to talk about is the mistake gap. Many of us are concerned about making a mistake. If I make a mistake and I don't do it right, you know, what will that mean? Well, that will mean that you're human like the rest of us, and you'll try again, and you'll get it right eventually. Or the perfection gap. This is a big one. Many of us are wired for perfection. We have to find the best way before we start something. But sometimes the way to find the best way is to start something. Then there's the inspiration gap. You know, you get excited one day. This happens a lot of us with health plans. You know, we'll get excited about starting a new health plan. And then, boom, we wake up one morning and we just don't feel like going to the gym. Or the last one is the expectation gap, where we really think it would be easier than it is. You know, we expected everything to be a cakewalk. You see, for each of us as leaders, there are one or a couple of these gaps, whether it's the assumption gap that you assume you'll automatically grow, the knowledge gap, you don't know how to grow, the timing gap, it's really not the right time for me, or the mistake gap, the perfection gap, the inspiration gap, the comparison gap, or the expectation gap. One or sometimes a couple of them are what's really holding you and I back. So we talked about those gaps, but now I want to talk about the four ways to transition into intentional growth. So the first one is ask the big question now. You see, one of the things that we can do to transition into being intentional is to stop right now and ask ourselves what we call the big question. You see, when we start something new, when we first get into the personal growth journey, often we want to ask ourselves, you know, how long will this take? Or how quickly can I do this? I remember asking the program coordinator for me, well, how quickly can I do this? Right? But John Maxwell challenges us to change the question from how fast can I go to how far can I go? See, that simple change can take you and I from a sprint to a different pace that allows us to not only enjoy the process, but to be able to acclimate and apply in our lives, in our careers as leaders, in our careers and our lives as parents and as community members and church members and everything that we do to apply what we're learning. Now, the second one is do it now. Get out of that timing trap. You know, the word later, it's a dream killer. It really is. It's one of those obstacles that we put up to derail our own chances of success. So take that action and do it now, do it now, do it now. You know, that's why, you know, I'm telling you throughout our call, hey, listen, if you want to do what I do, you'd probably do it a lot better and jump on the call with us and let's talk it through. Jump on the page, johnmaxwellteam.com/15laws. Learn about our $1,000 scholarship offer. Talk to a program coordinator. Don't procrastinate. If this is something that's on your heart and you're concerned about the timing, talk to your program coordinator about it. They'll guide you through whether or not that timing is right and is there a way to work around it. Now, in a few minutes, I'm going to open up the Q&A. So when I do, you'll hear the announcement, and you could press *6. I want to hear from you. I want to hear which of these that you're kind of bumping up against. So we talked about the first two ways to transition is ask the big question now. It's really about how far can I go. The second one is do it now. The third is the fear factor. The fear factor is a big one. There are 5 major fears that hold us back from doing anything worthwhile. The first is fear of failure. The second is the fear of trading security for the unknown. Man, if you are somebody who's very security-minded, I would love for you to jump on the call with us tonight when I open up the queue, because that is a very common thing. Many of us, we want to be secure. We want to be able to provide for our families. It's an important aspect of what we do. The third is the fear of being overextended financially. That's a legitimate fear for any of us. That's why I think that $1,000 scholarship is a pretty cool thing. Then the fourth is the fear of what others will say or think. And then the fifth is the fear that success will actually alienate us from some of our peers. You know, I've dealt with all 5 of these fears, and I still do today, just in different increments now. But when it comes to fear of failure, one of my patterns was that as I acquired more in life, I didn't want to give a lot up, you know. I didn't want to take a step back to be able to take a step forward. I didn't want to become a student again. I was afraid of failing. Because failing was not something I was comfortable with. But failing is also, as I realize, it's part of the process. It's part of the process in life. I didn't wake up and then 23 years later, you know, be a senior executive with a very large company here based in New York, just like I didn't wake up and then suddenly have a successful coaching, speaking, and training business. It was something I needed to take a risk on, and I had to risk my fear of failure. But I also had to bet on myself. You see, I finally came to the conclusion that failure is okay. You know, failure doesn't make me a failure. In fact, I heard John Maxwell say recently that if my life doesn't have any failure in it, then that means I'm a failure because it means I'm not trying anything new to grow and stretch myself. That statement right there really altered my thinking. For someone who's a recovering perfectionist, that was a big learn. So Here's what I'm going to ask for each of you to do. I want you to just think about maybe the gaps that you might be falling into. Maybe you're going to call it a different word. That's fine. Or maybe some of those fears, you know, taking that risk of doing something new doesn't always feel great. But each of those fears can paralyze us if we let it. And John talks about in the group, in the book, the difference between accidental growth and intentional growth. And I want to share this with you just before I open up the queue. Accidental growth plans to start tomorrow, but intentional growth, they insist on starting today. Accidental growth waits for growth to come, but intentional growth takes responsibility for the growth. Accidental growth, well, they only learn from mistakes, but intentional growth often learns before mistakes. Accidental growth depends on luck, but intentional growth relies on hard work. Accidental growth quits early and quits often, but intentional growth perseveres long and hard. Accidental growth falls into bad habits, where intentional growth fights for good habits. They stay consistent. And now I'm going to tell you, that was one of my fears because I did not consider myself a consistent person. Accidental growth talks big. Intentional growth follows through. Accidental growth plays it safe. But intentional growth takes risks. I'm going to jump down and give you the last one. Accidental growth stops learning after graduation. But intentional growth never stops growing. Well, as you know, the law of intentionality says that growth doesn't just happen. We talked about the traps, we talked about the fears, we talked about the four stages to transition, and now I want to hear from you. You press *6 to jump into the queue. I would love to hear from you tonight. Tell us about, you know, kind of what your observations and reflections have been as a result of tonight. Tell us a little bit about maybe some of the gaps that you might be finding for yourself. And also share with us, if you would, maybe some feedback. You know, how have you seen this manifest itself? Maybe not even in your own leadership walk, but maybe in the leadership walk of other people. That can happen too. Sometimes we learn our best lessons by observing other people. And like I said, you know, you too can, you know, lead mastermind calls and groups and do lunch and learns and more using this and our other content that we have available through the John Maxwell team. So you'll go to johnmaxwellteam.com/15laws. I am going to start to open up the queue. So if you are eager to jump in and kind of share with us, just press *61 and jump right in the queue. And I am going to our first caller, area code 202-832.
Hi, this is my issue is, I would call it the gap of distraction.
Ooh.
So often I have a plan for growth, but it seems like I deal with distractions. Mm. Do you have any pointers?
Oh, boy. First of all, what is your first name?
Jane.
Jane, I am so glad you called and mentioned that, because that's something that many of us do find ourselves into, because let's face it, typically those of us that serve a lot, help a lot, and do a lot, we're saying yes a lot. So we've got a lot of things that we've committed to. And now when we want to get something accomplished, we suddenly realize that, wait a minute, I don't know how I'm going to get this done. I've kind of run out of runway space. I've run out of time,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that John teaches us in the Maxwell Method is he teaches us about, it's not about managing time, because we all have the same 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Even the great masters of, you know, arts and science, the same thing. They have the same amount of time. But the real key is priority management, Jane. So one of the things that we learn in the team is how to manage our priorities. And then on the other hand, how to manage expectations. So in some seasons of our life, some priorities have to take precedent over others. I remember a few years back, my sister-in-law was terminally ill, and I put everything on hold to spend as much time as I could with her in hospice care, and because that became my priority. Doing my job, I had to do it, yep, and I showed up, and I did my job, and I was fully engaged, but all of the other things that seemed important at the time went away. So it's really about managing priorities rather than managing the time. And once those priorities, if you look at the things that absolutely require just your attention, there's no one else on God's green earth that could do it, then those are the things obviously that may bubble up to the top. And then looking at what can you maybe enlist the help of other people in. A lot of times we think we're sort of intruding on people when we ask for help, or we ask them if they could take on something for us. And oftentimes they are so thrilled that we actually asked, because it's something that's in their strength zone. It's something that they would be happy to be able to contribute to and to be able to take on. And then we actually provide them an opportunity to grow a little bit too in a whole new way. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah. My pleasure, Jane. Thanks so much for joining tonight's call.
Thanks for the invite.
My pleasure. Okay, we are now going to go to area code 386-208. So 386-208. Welcome to tonight's call. What is your name?
Hi, this is Darlene.
Hi, Darlene.
I just joined the John Maxwell team.
Well, welcome.
Yes, thanks. And for the previous year, I have actually been taking a graduate certificate in coaching.
Oh, wow.
And just finished that in August. And I am fully in the trading security for the unknown.
Wow, yeah.
I find myself hesitating. You know, I would really like to build a business, but that lack of security is keeping me kind of in paralyzed mode.
Great. I'm so glad you identified it, because, you know, that's half the problem, right?
Yes.
Understanding what the obstacle is. And when you think in terms of security, Darlene, what does security mean to you?
It's my comfort zone mostly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So having the opportunity to be able to stretch and grow out of your comfort zone feels so odd, weird, uncomfortable, that it sort of paralyzes you from taking a step forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So since you're already on the team, one of the things you're going to find really helpful is, and if you haven't yet connected with our Facebook group that for the private team, for our team members, the John Maxwell team members, you know, when you go on there and you look at some of your colleagues that have the exact same fear that we have overcome, where we said, you know what, I was really afraid, but I did this mastermind or I did this lunch and learn, and look at this great comment I got from someone, you will find yourself, Darlene, becoming very encouraged to realize that people have been where you are, feeling very uncomfortable, but yet they were willing to grow through it. And that has made all the difference.
Yeah. Part of why I joined the team, I haven't been yet to the Orlando event, but I will be going in February.
Beautiful. And, see you there.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that. But again, I can recognize in myself, I'm kind of hanging back saying, well, I'll wait until I go in February. And, you know, I can come up with all kinds of excuses. I live in a rural area and people don't really know what coaching is.
Yeah.
I'm great at excuses.
Yeah. Well, it's good you recognize what it is. Now
I just have to do it.
Yeah. And you know what, Darlene? It's really a commitment to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, it's almost like if you've ever seen a child take their first steps, you know, they're standing there and they're wobbling and they're thinking, I'm not really so sure I should do this. And then they muster up the courage to take that first step. And when they get two or three steps in, all of a sudden the smile on their face tells you they made the right decision.
Right. Yeah.
And
I've been through that before. I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. So I would so encourage you, Darlene, you know, get into making yourself feel uncomfortable and knowing that when you're uncomfortable and you're growing, you're actually on the right path.
Right.
And I look forward to meeting you in February.
Absolutely. Can't wait.
Thank you. Welcome to the team.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to our next caller, area code 917-379. So 917-379. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, this is Linda from Queens, New York.
Hey, Linda, I'm out on Long Island. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm just enjoying this experience, and I don't want to take up a whole lot of time from others as well, but I just wanted to share that I have a hunger and hunger for personal growth and development for myself, mm-hmm. and help elevate other people to be leaders. And I have a tendency to gravitate, you know, towards leaders that have great minds, that stimulates my mind to help me to become, you know, a greater person, both personally and professionally.
Yes.
And as I was listening tonight, I was just thinking about some of the gaps that you know, I get triggered off sometimes with, and that's the mistake gap and the perfection gap. Those are my two main areas that I need to work on closing. But I'm just so open, and I just welcome any thoughts you might have just to help me on my journey.
Ooh. Well, first of all, congratulations on really being intentional about growing, because, you know, that just says a lot about your commitment level to yourself already right there. And
yes.
And, you know, those two gaps that you identified, you know, that mistake gap and the perfection gap, you know, the mistake gap, I'm afraid of making a mistake, and the perfection gap, I have to find the best way before I get started. That's
mm-hmm.
something that most high achievers find themselves in, because mm-hmm. when we're focused on high achievement, we tend to look for a high degree of success. And we want to be able to get it right the first time. And one of the things that has really been very beneficial for me personally has been to see other people who have had a similar obstacle in their way, and that when they share with me kind of their story on, you know, I didn't really do this right, and here's what happened. But, you know, in the long run, the stories always end the same way. In the long run, it was all fine, right?
Yeah.
And I'm one of those people, when I get a book, and this is going to sound odd, but it's just part of who I am, I always read the last page first, and then I go back to the first page, because I always like to see how's the story going to end.
Okay.
And when people share with me, you know, hey, I made this mistake, but, you know, it all worked out in the end, that gives me hope that I'm not going to be judged about not being perfect, because none of us are. But
right.
I'll judge myself more harshly if I don't bet on myself and if I don't risk failure and stay in sort of the non-growth mode.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds to me that you're someone like me who really is eager to achieve and also wants to be able to say, you know what, I've grown in the past year.
Yeah.
You know, I have a different perspective, and it's mm-hmm. not going to happen staying safe.
Right. Okay. Thanks.
But learning more through people who have maybe faced it and they live to tell on the other side of it. I think
uh-huh.
you'll find that to be really helpful.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for joining the call tonight.
Yes, thank you, Deb.
And now we are going to area code 330405. 330405. Who am I on the phone with?
This is Jimmy in Twinsburg, Ohio. Can you hear me?
I can, Jimmy. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for the opportunity. But I'd just like to tag along what I believe what Jane said. She brought up the what she termed as the distraction gap. Okay.
Yes.
And your rebuttal to her was that one has to learn to prioritize the task that's beforehand. That's very significant. But I think, you know, what's of equal significance is the ability to say no. I can't do this anymore. Okay.
Preach There's it, Jimmy.
Yep. And I wanted to just add that to what you had referred to her, the ability to say no as we prioritize.
Yeah.
And second question I have for you. I was at the IMC, and I haven't heard when the mentorship program is going to start. Can you give me some insight as to when that might start?
Have you been to the IMC already?
I was there in August.
Oh, beautiful. So the mentorship program actually has already started. So if you didn't get the information, you can just email admin@johnmaxwellteam.com, and they'll get it right over to you. You should have gotten it, so you may want to check your spam mail first.
Okay. How long has it been going on? Yeah.
Oh, it's just, September. You know, it certainly started back in August 2011, but for folks who joined mentorship at the IMC, you should have already received the email. So if you email admin@johnmaxwellteam.com, Jimmy, they will get you connected right away.
Okay, I appreciate that.
And I so appreciate your word about the word no, because, again, for many of us, that seems like a very uncomfortable word, talking about a word we have to grow through.
Yes. You have to learn to say no and when to say no.
That's right. So your point on that is right on.
Okay,
thanks. Well, thanks for joining us tonight. All right, now we are going to area code 330-272. Who am I on the line with?
How you doing? My name is Shavar.
Hey, Shavar, welcome to the call tonight.
Thank you. My question is, how did you say you were with your previous company for 23 years? What was that moment when you figured it was just, you know, time to go out and step out on faith and, you know, pursue your dream of just starting your own company? I've been with the same company for about 8 years and in the previous company for another 7 or 8 years or so. And I just kind of see myself being stagnant. I'm a site director for BPO, and, you know, I've been operations director, client service director. So, coaching and developing, and, you know, helping shape leaders for, you know, the past 10 or 15 years. But it just seems like this is like the last stop that I could get here with my current company.
Yeah. Oh, I feel your pain. I know what that's like, Shavar. So here's the thing. One of the beautiful things about our team is that you don't have to give up one for the other, certainly not right away. You know, you may never want to give it up. You may actually want to do both. But if it's a choice that you do make, you know, building a plan to do it successfully requires, you know, making sure that you've got your ducks in a row financially and that, you know, you're willing to put in the time and the commitment for it, because it's like anything else, right? It does require, it's like the expectation gap, you know. Boy, I thought this would be easier, but it does take a little bit of effort for sure, like anything worthwhile. But here's the thing, Shavar, I noticed for me, there came a point, and you're in operations too, so you and I were kind of in the same world. And there came a point where the routine of operations, which I used to really enjoy because there was a level of predictability through it. And, you know, when you're in a company for 7 or 8 years like you've been, you become a pretty special sort of subject matter expert to the company, that I didn't want to really give that piece up. I was afraid of going from being an expert in one thing to an amateur in something else. So what I did was, when I joined the team in March 2011, I stayed with my job until December of that year. So I launched my business while I was still employed, so I could kind of try it on for size and start to build my network and start to practice and be able to, I even brought some of the material to my company, right, to just serve them, to add value to them, which gave me a great opportunity for practice. And it was probably one of the best decisions I made, not to just immediately pull the plug for me, but to be able to do it in a very methodical, intentional way where I actually had a plan that I followed. Does that make sense, Shavar?
Yeah, no, it definitely does. And I'm definitely related when you said that, he was with the company so long and they didn't have any structure, leadership model, and it kind of faced the same thing with the company that I'm with, and invested a lot of myself and a lot in the other team members, and, helped a lot of people grow. I really root for the underdog. So, I get my most joy out of taking people that other people didn't think would have a chance to really be in leadership and help mold them and shape them and give them an opportunity to, grow.
That's so good. You know, that's why I would encourage you, join the team. Use the material to serve the people you work with today already in the company. And you will find that you get inspired by their response and their growth. And that will help you to see a bigger picture on what you can accomplish now on your own when you choose the time is right.
Right. I've done a lot of lunch and learns, did a lot of different modules, a lot of lunch and learns with the 5 Levels of Leadership, 21 Irrefutable Laws, and really people grasp to it. I got some of my own content. A lot of events, though, that was the best experience I've ever had in my life, and I've been to a lot of conferences. I've been to a lot of Maxwell conferences, but just interacting with that many different people from all the different countries, and even when I had to do my 5-minute speech, my phone broke prior to coming to the event, and I lost all the content on my phone. So I did my spiel off the top of my head, and my table was so intrigued by the story I told that they wanted me to finish because I didn't finish within the 5 minutes. And then, I found myself in different groups going through different sessions with multiple of people at the event. They thought that I was an executive director already, and it was funny. Then I was talking to Scott Fay, didn't know it was Scott Fay, asking him about the mentor program and what kind of value he got out of it. And somebody next to me was like, "You don't know who you're talking to?"
That's awesome. Yeah, one of the founders. Yeah.
Right.
One of the partners. Oh, I love
it. That was funny.
Well, I would just so encourage you, Shavar. It sounds like so much of what you have access to, you can so easily utilize right now, today, on the job, to serve other people and help them develop. And, think of it in this way. You're kind of getting paid to practice. So, go with it.
Right.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we've got just a couple more callers in the queue. I'll finish up the queue, and then we'll end tonight's call. This is an anonymous call. I always love anonymous. So, anonymous, who are you? You don't even have to tell us your real name if you don't want to.
Oh, hi there. My name is Darwin. Can you hear me?
Hi, Darwin. I can. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Canada. I work for a police service, so all the numbers are blocked by default.
I got it. No worries. It's all good.
All good. Welcome. Thank you. So my question is about the comparison gap. And so I understand, that comparing yourself to others can sometimes be unhealthy, dangerous, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we, often read about some of our heroes and people we look up to, and, they provide really good inspiration, stuff like that. At what point is it comparison, and at what point does it cross over into something you can learn from? I'd be kind of interested to hear where you see that line being.
Ooh, that is I got to tell you, that is a great question.
Look forward to a great answer.
Yeah. What's funny, when I think of the comparison gap, when I compare myself to my own potential, that's always healthy. Right? When I compare myself to my level of consistency, that's healthy. But when I take myself, maybe something new that I'm learning, and I compare myself, if I decided to look into having a career in law enforcement, and I actually started to compare myself to you, that would be such an unhealthy comparison. because if you have anything more than a day's worth of experience, that means that we're not really, equally on that path, that you're much further down the line. But if I, instead of comparing myself to you, if I learn through you and I learn, how did you get into law enforcement? How did you get to do that so well? And can you teach me? Can you mentor me? Can you help me? Having people that we link arms with that are on the path that we want to be on and that they're willing to help us to learn and kind of give us a hand up, that to me is a healthy comparison rather than, oh my goodness, they're really good at what they do. I'm not, so I should just stop. That to me just feels very unhealthy and unproductive. How do you feel about it? What's your point of view on it?
I guess I kind of feel that and I was very interested in your answer, and that's a great answer. Thanks very much. I kind of feel that, you know, when we look at the lives, as you mentioned, and of the people who've lived their lives, and written about them in biographies or John Maxwell or some of the other great books out there, that really what they are is less a comparison and more, here are the things that I've learned that I can pass on to you.
That's kind
of how I feel about it, that it really I've learned through the difficult, hard things in my life. And I'm hoping that this is how it can help you, as opposed to I've arrived here and I'm really great and I've done really well. But really it's about the journey, and maybe this can help you on your journey. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. And in fact, as you were saying that, what came to mind to me is maybe the healthy difference is that we're willing to ask for their help and guidance, and they're willing to give it.
That's a great point.
Yeah. So having two people that are both willing to engage in that sort of, you know, opportunity to be able to be, you know, teacher and student, in my mind, when we're both willing, then we both are, we're not comparing, we're actually sharing at that point.
I suppose there's a difference between teacher and student versus superior, inferior, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. If you take that perspective on teacher and student or mentor and mentee, right, doesn't it change it? It changes everything.
It does, yeah. Well, thanks so much.
What a great question. Thanks for joining the call tonight.
Thank you.
Okay, we are going to our next caller, which is going to be area code 516-992. That's my neck of the woods.
Yes, my name is Leslie. I'm calling from Long Island.
Hi, Leslie. Welcome.
Hi, welcome. You're from Long Island too, right?
I am, yeah.
Okay, I'm in West Hempstead. My question is, my struggle is with I don't feel like doing it, the inspiration gap. Mm. One of the issues that I deal with is, my husband is a pastor at a church. And as a pastor's wife, you know, we are called to do various leadership roles in the church. And sometimes, you know, you have that inspiration to do something, especially I work a lot with the women's ministry, with the women's director, helping her, you know, get the woman on board. And sometimes, you know, God inspires you to do certain things. But my thing I get like despondent easily because I think it's because, you know, you expect certain people, especially leaders in the church, to support you. Because you know that you're doing something to help the women, especially we have a lot of women who might think that they got it going on, but when you really deal with them, there's a bit of insecurity in, you know, growing in their faith and growing in their personal lives and supporting their family, especially with single women, single parenting and all that stuff. So sometimes you have, you know, you try to set the bar high, you try to do something with women or the church in general, and you lose that support. You know, and my problem is, you know, just knowing in myself that I could do it alone, but then I can't do it alone. I need, you know, the support of people, you know, the people, especially the leaders, to support me and say, well, you know, you can do it and push me because my thing is when I do things with them, it's not just me speaking with them or me overshadowing them, but I use it as a learning tool because I do things because God has inspired me to there's a need in me to learn more, and I bring the idea to them because I know some of them have some answers for me when it comes to situations in my life. And if it's bothering me, I say, well, maybe it's bothering them too, but I really don't see it. So you tend to say, okay, we're going to do this. You know, but then you look for that support from some of the leaders to support you, and you just don't get it.
Mm. Well, let's face it, Leslie, it is difficult being the first lady of a church.
Amen.
Okay. I have some very good friends that are in that role as well, and it is, you talk about unsung heroes in a lot of cases.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I heard you say is, you know, you're serving with intention a lot of the women in the group, the ladies in your church, but you're looking for people that will join arms with you, and
right.
that will inspire you because you see that there are people that are willing to step up and do what you do.
Right.
So one of the biggest opportunities I had for growth, I don't want to call it a failure, I'm going to call it an opportunity for growth, was very early on when I first, you know, when I was in my career, the very first early years, I was willing to ask for help because I thought, well, I'm new. People won't mind helping me. And then what I found, Leslie, was there came a time where I started to believe something that wasn't true. I started to believe that people started to expect me to be able to know it all and do it all.
Right.
And that left no room for them. So one of the things that my mentor way back then asked me to do and challenged me to do was to start to observe some of the people I was working with. So you could do the same thing with your ladies group.
Right.
And start to observe what some of their gifts and talents are. And then ask them, say, you know what, you know, Mary, John, whomever, I have to tell you, I realize I see that you are really strong in this area. You have a natural area of giftedness in that area. Would you be willing to share that with our group? Would you be willing to take on a little bit of responsibility with that? And you would be surprised, Leslie, that sometimes when people see that we recognize their strength or their area of giftedness, and then they see that we are asking for their help, that I'm not good enough to do it by myself. John Maxwell says, one is too small of a number to accomplish anything great. And oftentimes when we approach it that way, you may find, I'm not saying you will find, but you may find, Leslie, that they are much more open and willing, and they were just being humble and just were really waiting for somebody to ask.
Right, right. Oh, that's a cool point.
But because, recognizing their gifts is the key.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, someone once said to me that, you know, everyone walks with an imaginary sign on their chest saying, make me feel wanted, make me feel loved.
Yes.
You know, and what you're saying makes a lot of sense because, you know, to get people's attention or to get people to get more involved, you have to pull, as you said, look at them and pull things out of them, you know, and you would see because some people, especially in the church, some people are scared. They know what they can do. You have no idea, but they're scared to show exactly what they're capable of.
Yeah.
And I think it deals from, especially like people come to church sometimes, and we have no idea what they do in the secular world, what their job involves. Some of them are leaders on the job. And because we just deal with church, we don't ask them, so what do you do for a living?
Mm-hmm.
And because we have no idea what they do, we have no idea what their giftings are, some of the giftings are. So what they say makes a great point because we just deal with the Sunday person, what they do in the church or whatever.
Yeah.
And we're not aware of what their secular jobs are, which has a lot to do with leadership, and maybe they can do, you know, their growth in the church can because if they work in a school and they have students in the school, maybe they can be part of the Sunday school because they, you know, they work with kids, they know how to deal with kids, so makes a big difference. Thanks a lot.
Well, Leslie, you just hit on a very important point I just want to leave you with, that one of the most important responsibilities as leaders, as we evolve into our leadership and we move more and more into our own potential, is to be willing to connect on a deeper level with other people so that we can learn more about them, so that now we have, you know, some inside information, if you will, into what they do and also what matters to them. If someone has a heart for children, whether they have experience with it or not, if they're just willing to serve, then they're probably going to be much more passionate about it than someone who might be a teacher who might be burnt out after 40 years who just doesn't want to be with kids on Sunday, you know? But, man, thank you for the work that you do as a leader.
Thank you.
So glad you dialed in tonight, Leslie. Thanks so much, neighbor.
Okay.
All right. All right, folks, we've got just two more calls in the queue. Let's go to area code 904-514. Who am I on the phone with? 904-514. Going once, going twice, okay. Let's go to area code 832-435. Who am I on the line with?
Hey, Debbie, this is Frank Nance from Houston.
Did you say Frank?
Yes.
Hey, Frank. Thanks for joining us tonight.
I don't know if you remember me or not. Yeah, I don't know if you remember me or not. I'm a part of the JMT. I'm an executive director. So I thought you were going to talk tonight. And I'm like, well, you know, I need to listen to somebody else making a presentation of the 15 laws of growth. Let me listen to what she's got to present. And I'm like, wow, I'm glad I did.
Thank you. I'm glad you joined the call.
Well, you know, I thought about that. I was like, you know, I need to let other people know, no matter where you're at in your growth, you can always learn. And I said, why don't you jump on and participate in this phone call and encourage others that no matter what level you're at, you can always learn. And
we always tonight, learn through each other, yeah.
Yes, yes. And I appreciate you adding value to not only me but to everybody else. It's awesome. What I learned from you tonight was that I know I'm a competitive person, and I've had to fight. I fought against that or fought with it. And, you know, I still catch myself in that competitive mode. And I have to go, no, you only compete against yourself.
Yes.
You need to get better.
So, good for you. Oh, I love it, Frank.
You know,
that's a tough lesson because, man, it still stings me sometimes too. But it is a important lesson because by competing with only ourselves, now we're focused only on our own potential and we don't get distracted, like Jane brought up earlier tonight, with other things that really aren't going to keep us on the path.
Yeah. No,
well,
I totally agree.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. I'm so glad you did. I'm glad I don't suffer from that affliction alone.
All right, well, hey, Debbie, keep doing the good work. Look forward to it.
Oh, thanks so much. So appreciate that. Well, folks, I want to thank you all for joining us tonight. This has just been an honor and a privilege. And in fact, I hope that you will be back next Wednesday night because my colleague and friend, Chris Robinson, will be sitting in the seat. And if you have not heard Chris Robinson before, let me tell you, you are in for a treat. He is a master speaker, teacher, trainer, coach. And Chris is going to be talking about the law of the mirror, how each of us must see value in ourselves to add value to ourselves. This is an important lesson. And before we end tonight's call, if you would like to learn how you too can lead mastermind groups using this and all of the other content the John Maxwell team offers, just go ahead and go to johnmaxwellteam.com/15laws and click the button to talk to a program coordinator. We would love to be able to have a conversation with you, add value to you. And my friends, I wish you all a wonderful week. Let me unmute the lines and we could all say goodnight.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.